HKX, mobile.
6CLX.
Good morning, Mike. And how are you?
I'm trusting you're good, too.
I am doing good.
Need some rain for a change. I was getting worried there.
You like this right here, just a slow, nice drizzle. Be great all day long.
Yeah, keep it cool and keep things watered. Over the weekend, I mowing the grass. I looked down. I was like, "What the heck is that?" I got a nice little natural spring going in my backyard, except it was my watering system, so I had to shut it all down and wait for the part to come in. Hopefully today. So I'm glad for the rain.
Natural springs up where I live. That's a normal. I have two of them on my property.
Not a normal thing down here, at least in my yard. It's an unnatural spring that I'm going to pay big bucks for next month, I guess.
Man-made springs, they get expensive in a hurry. HKX, Mike, you still there?
I'm going to have to scoot pretty soon, though. Wife, picking up the wife at her appointment.
I got a few minutes. I got a little bit of a drive here between stops.
How's business been lately?
Business has been fairly good. It's so up and down, it's hard to follow and predict and try to figure out what's going on.
But with me, I started started getting worried a week or so ago, and then things started turning around. Took a half day off yesterday, got into the office, and after lunch, I'm at that 14 emails waiting on me, so. All right, well, gotta go. Talk to you later. N6CLX, I'll be quick.
You stay safe out there. KO4HKX, and I'll be mobile and monitoring.
KO4NUE, mobile.
Good morning, Chad.
How are you?
I am doing wonderful this morning. Nice and cool. Enjoying the day.
Roger that. Now I hear you got old big boy moving down the road. I can hear that fan coming on.
Actually, yes, I'm driving down the road. And that's the fan coming on when I hit the exhaust braking gauges.
Oh, that's music in my ears, bud. Are you having a good morning so far?
I am having a good morning. Slept good last night, refreshed. It's not too hot this morning, so I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, well, I'm headed up to camp, and gotta swap my SD cards out in my game cams. Kind of see what activity's moving up there and all. But I headed up to visit with Chris, and yeah, I was going to meet Gary up there too. So good day today.
Both of them, I say hello when you talk to them.
Well, so just curious what you got planned for the weekend, over.
Trying to get my house put back together after this remodel. Been working on it and trying to get my shack and my office cleaned back out where I've got stuff stored in there from moving everything out of the living room and kitchen.
Roger that, I understand. moving that radio stuff around can be a little bit cantankerous, especially trying to get it all back working again. I moved something the other day. I forget. Oh, maybe it was the watt meter. I took the watt meter out of play and was going to take it apart to put a new LED in it because the LED lights burned out. And when I fixed it and put it back in, I kept getting high SWRs on my radio, by all of them.
I don't know what I did to one of the cables, but it was bad. Just like that. And I didn't move it. I mean, I just unscrewed the end of it, and that was it. So I get it.
Well, I have to move my radios again. I just got to get everything out of my room so I can move in there instead of having to walk down the little trail where the stuff's all stacked up in boxes in there.
So I talked with Daniel yesterday. We went over his spreadsheet for a little bit, and I've been able to sleep on the data a little bit, and I'm still kind of unsure about, you know, what the numbers I'm seeing, but I got to find a way to be a little bit more objective and clean things up a little bit.
To tell you, just like we were talking yesterday, there's so many variables in that I don't know that you could fully clean it up at any time.
I think I'm at that conclusion. I'm not sure. I think after a good night's rest, here's where I am with it, is that data is not going to do what I need it to do, because there's just not enough of it, and it's not controlled. So maybe I need to step down a notch and maybe use it to possibly see if a station has made changes to their station. I think I might be able to do that with that data.
It's like you were talking, just one simple move, and it threw your SWRs off. You could have anything happen there with any of those stations.
So I think probably the best thing to do is to look at the station individually. So what's going to happen is there's two matrices. One is going to go to you. It's going to show who heard you and who you heard and how to find your relay, and that's it. That's all it's going to do. But I have a separate sheet as a club, so I can look at the club as a whole, and I don't necessarily think I'm going to email that one out, because it's just a lot of, it could be very confusing. So let my radio drop here. What I'm going to do with it is, for example, you technically, if we look at your station, you gained 2. And I think we can use that to say, okay, why did Patrick gain 2? And we think we already know the answer to that, right? That explains Patrick. Then we can go to one of the other members in the group. He gained 13. He gained 13 from the last call. So in February, he transmitted on a Bofang with a discone in the attic at 3 watts. This time, he transmitted on an ICOM with a beam at 100 watts. So we can definitely explain that one, right?
A huge increase.
I bring that up for this reason. He gained 13 on receive. How many stations did he affect on transmit? And that's going to explain some of their gains. You agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I see where you're going.
So if I can pick those gains apart and look at them objectively and say, okay, well, this is why he gained. In other words, Daniel gained 2 stations. one of those stations was Steve, the one KO4HYD. Patrick gained two stations because Steve changed antennas. So Steve's data is null and void, and Daniel's data is null and void. And I got a feeling what's going to end up happening is that when I do pick those gains apart, what's going to be left are the losses. And the losses are going to kind of coincide with, okay, well, there's leaves on the trees. But I'll let somebody else look at that with different eyes and say, okay, you're a little closer than you were a couple of days ago. But that's kind of where I am with it now.
And I completely understand that and agree with you. And then you also have to say, okay, how much of that was propagation at the time? So it's hard to get that much information with only two tests. I think it's going to need more testing to get a fully accurate data on that one.
I'm not really willing to say, well, the matrix that you're going to receive from the results of the test, that is not a waste of time, because that shows generally your way to simplex and to relay. So that's going to be useful. Maybe. if there's not weird conditions. But it's something, is what I'm trying to say. The other matrix that I've got that I'm looking at with the club as a whole, I think it needs a little work.
And like I said, repeating the test over and over again is the only way you're going to get any real true data.
Yeah, roger that. So I almost think that maybe either just let it go and just accept the fact that there's so many variables that I'm not sure I can, you know, really control any of that. Or just, you know, set up two stations, one at my house inside in a better environment and don't change anything, and then move one station up to the repeater site and, you know, have them transmit once a day and collect data off of, you know, two or three transmits throughout the day, and look at that data over an extended period of time. That's the only other thing I could do.
Trying to build a control off of it and something to measure off of, I get that. But even that, you're still not got an accurate real-world scenario, because things change in different locations. And that's more what we're after is, from my specific location, what can I do? Not from the repeater site. So that's, I don't know. I don't know a good way to go about that one.
I think I've got an idea with yours. So, I don't want to, you know, make you uncomfortable talking about it on the air. But if you're okay with it, I'll go ahead. But I do have a couple of ideas.
That's why I got into this hobby, was to learn. And it has definitely been a learning experience so far.
Here we go. So looking at the data that you know, I have as the club whole, I can see clearly that there are two stations that you broke squelch on. You were not copyable, but you did break the squelch. Well, the squelch changed, which tells me that possibly that station is workable. But that may or may not necessarily be able to be done in 1 minute. You agree with me so far?
You had time to align the beams. You could might be able to do a little better with that.
Next step, in my mind, you tell me if I'm wrong, is that those stations that have issues because of geography or whatever, that we take 3 or 4 of the club members and say, okay, here are the stations that may be problematic. Let's all meet on this day, this time, this frequency, and let's work it out and see if we can get the numbers up. But that may mean that you have to, because of that big rock in your backyard, you may have to get smart or crafty and see if you can bounce something off of that big mountain or the one to your left. But, you know, we just don't know till we've tried. Do you agree?
I fully agree with that, and I understand where you're going with it. But that's going to take more than a minute, because it takes more than a minute for me to spin that beam around 360 degrees.
So, I talked with two experienced operators yesterday that in the EOC that are, you know, there's a bunch of mountains up here, and these guys have been doing this a long time. I've never learned to deal with mountains, you know. I don't have that issue, but I've had more than two people tell me that maybe it's time to start trying to bounce things a little bit. So, you know, maybe, and luckily, I'm pretty sure there's enough iron in that rock up there to maybe bounce some things around a little bit, but we gotta try.
There's enough iron in them there granite mountains to bounce more than a few things off of them.
So when we get the other two stations compiled and we get the data out, I think probably the next thing to do is, like I said, focus on the stations that may be struggling for geography or whatever, and say, okay, are you interested in getting these scores up? If you are, we'll help you, and this is what we're going to do, when we're going to do it, and so on and so forth. I think that's pretty much what it's going to take.
I agree with that. That one-on-one and a little more time with each station, instead of trying to do it as a group, that way you can figure out, you got time to figure out a few more things.
I'm thinking about the beam, and I have a question for you I want you to consider. I may need to think about it for a while. The picture you sent me is pretty close to mine. I don't think it's going to be off enough to mess with. So that still begs the question, why is it doing what it's doing? So, what if that is a reflected signal that you're receiving off of the backside? Is that possible? Is that something we need to explore?
Possible, but my question, this is something I know absolutely nothing about. Both of the mountains, the one is all woods, and the one directly in front of me is all woods. There's no bare spots to bounce off anything, is what I'm getting at. I'm hitting all leaves and trees, so unless it's bouncing off the trees first, I don't know how much that's going to affect it.
Well, I think it's safe to assume, you know, assumptions can get you in trouble, but I would say it would be safe to assume that some of that RF, probably a good bit of it, is getting through the trees. And the point is, if we kind of get, you know, through the trees and off the rock and get something, you know, a weak copyable signal is better than nothing. And that may be, you know, what we have to do. But if you don't have somebody on the other end saying, hey, no joy, no joy, or if you've got like 5 or 10 seconds to try, that's really not helpful either. So we'll get it organized and on a planner and make it happen.
Like a good idea, and I appreciate the help. And like I said, it helps us both learn what we can and can't do, and are capable of. So that's the fun part about it.
How are you thinking you're going to do that? What do you think that test is going to look like?
I got to find a station that I can't hear or barely hear that'll work with us, and then you got to go from there to see if you can actually do anything with that. And it may take more than one station. You might be able to do anything at all with it. So you've got to find, I would say, at least two stations in different geographical locations that you like you say, we're barely changing the squelch or the tone on it, something like that. Or the other option is putting a beacon out of some sort where you can just hear it and that's it, in different locations. Something along those lines.
KO4HKX. You're exactly right. And that's what I'm thinking in my mind. The only difference between what I'm going to say is you're the beacon. So here's what I'm thinking. And you tell me if you disagree. Me and Ed, maybe another station, maybe Steve, place your beam at 0 degrees, and just for example, at 7 o'clock sharp, your beam at 0 degrees, you transmit for 1 minute. We listen. At 7:01, you move 15 degrees to the right, and you transmit for 1 minute, and we listen. At 7:03, there's 15 more degrees, and we listen. We record those signal strengths and find out of that 360-degree signal where Chad is or where Ann is or where Ed is, and we go from there. Do you think that's something doable?
I mean, that's completely doable. I don't see any reason it wouldn't be.
I'm sure the ICOM is 100 watts. Is that correct?
I guess. I don't know. I'm not running an ICOM station.
Well, I thought you got an ICOM. But, I know one of the club members got an ICOM, and it is at 100 watts. But another thing I learned during the test was that higher wattage doesn't always mean something. Me and Ann and Steve and Anna have figured out that higher wattages are very difficult for us. We can move down into the lower wattage and have a much better signal. So, you know, I think we post stations listening around you and let you transmit, and we'll have either you or me or somebody take those received SIGs and go from there and move back to that azimuth and try to dial it in from there. I think we might be surprised at what direction the beam is pointing when that happens.
True. Because with higher wattage, you could, instead of bouncing off of something, you could just burn right through it. So that's very possible that could happen. I guess, I don't know. There again, this is all a learning experience for me, so maybe there's somebody that knows more than I do.
Let's plug it in. I'll work it out, and I'll get the station coordinated, and we'll run a test and find out. We're not going to know until we try. If it's a fail, then we know, and then we try to find another way. I'm sure we're going to be able to find a way, but we gotta try.
I'm excited about it. I'm all for it. I was really surprised to be able to hear Gary, because there's a lot of dirt between him and I.
So that's a good point, is that, you know, Ed is to, well, I'm not sure what cardinal direction Ed is to you. I'm not sure what cardinal direction Gary is, but Gary has a very good station, strong station. Dan and Steve have a very good station. Steve Wilder has a very good station. So maybe, you know, maybe we let those listen and see, you know, what the scores are. And it may mean that, okay, well, you know, man, Steve is just not going to work. But it may mean that you're weak but copyable somewhere else. We'll see. We'll get it figured out.
We'll get it figured out. But hey, just so you know, I am taking next week off. I've got to be around the house most of the week trying to get things done there. I got to take the truck and have it, put it in the shop and have some service and maintenance work done to it. But other than that, I should be around the house.
Let me be clear here. So you're saying sometime maybe next week you want to try, or I'm going to be off next week, leave me alone. Which one? Because I'll be glad to try to arrange something for next week. Over.
I'm not going anywhere that I know of. I got to go to a doctor's appointment and take the truck in for service. But like I said, other than that, I'll be around the house. So I'll have, you know, an hour here that I can devote to that, no problem. At least an hour or so, if not longer. Because I don't plan on going anywhere. There'll be too many people out doing their thing, so I'm going to stay at home.
Okay. Well, I'll get with you on the landline, and we'll figure out a rough day, and I'll probably do a Zoom call with you, and we'll plot everybody in the area on a map and take a look at it, and then we'll take the signal report results we got from the other night, and we'll pick some candidates that might be good for that, and then we'll go ahead and schedule it and see what happens.
Sounds good. But, Chad, I'm going to have to hop off. I'm at my next stop, so I'm going to jump out and get back to work. You have a good day. Make sure you tell Gary and Chris I said hello. I'd say try to keep them straight, but that's more than a one-man job. So, good luck. KO4HKX, I'll be clear.
KX, KO4NUE, 73, but have a wonderful day. I'll talk at you later. I'm KO4NUE Mobile.
4NUE,
KS4CHY. HY, KO4NUE. Go ahead, Keith.
I was just wondering, did you get the matrix finished up?
Stations, but those two stations are, they're relevant, but it's really not going to affect things too much. But we'll get them closed out in the next, probably next two or three days, and get the matrix out to you. So I'm hoping you heard the conversation between me and Patrick.
I could tell it was you two talking, but I was in the other room, so I couldn't follow the conversation. But that's all right. I was just wanting to make sure that it wasn't the email issue that you and I have been having over
here. I did receive your data, and I do have it in the matrix. But because of the way the matrix works, if you don't have all of the data, it can totally change everything. So we're close. And Keith, what's going to happen is when the stations that have not participated in February, I'm going to send out an email link for a Zoom call to go over the results, how to use the matrix, and why it's listed the way it's listed. Because when you receive it, you're going to think, okay, well, this is the way I do it. And that's not the way you do it. It's a little backwards. But, you know, I will get it explained to the ones who haven't been able to participate before.
I wasn't sure what the exchange was supposed to be either, so I just, was throwing off the call phone and location and that kind of thing. I didn't know what all you wanted in that either.
Exchange happens, you're exactly right. Your call sign, obviously. It can be your call sign for 1 minute, or it can be your call sign and whatever you want to say. So, as long as you transmit for the full minute, and don't transmit when it's not your time. That's really the only two critical things there. But I do have your information plotted. Well, I'll go over that with you on the phone. So, yeah, we'll do that. But your information is plotted. Probably could share that with you now.
Like I said, I was just wanting to hear you were in here, and I just wanted to check, make sure that you hadn't finished it up, and I didn't get it because of the email thing. But yeah, and I kind of figured that's what it was, just keep transmitting and whatever you wanted to say. So yeah, obviously call phone, and you don't realize how long a minute is when you don't have anything to say until you do something like that. So, my mind's bad about wondering, so it's a good thing I've kept that under control of.
There are four stations that are, I want to choose the right word here. Four stations that may be a little challenged. So, I'm trying to figure out how to say this as well. So, in February, when we conducted the test with the club, it was very apparent when we saw the data on which stations had issues. Now, some of those issues cannot be controlled, you know, mountains, for one thing. But other issues can be controlled and can be corrected. So some of those stations that participated in February, because they were able to see the data, made those changes. And those changes, even though there were leaves on the trees, still were reflected, and we were able to see those changes. Surprisingly, some of the changes are showing as a loss, but some of the stations are showing as a gain. So when you contact those stations and say, well, yeah, I went up with my antenna 20 feet, or I changed my coax, and that's kind of what's happening now, because I made some calls yesterday, and that I can clearly see that they've made changes.
If I can figure out a way to do it without poking holes in the side of the house and in the roof and that kind of thing. Yeah, I need to do the same thing, and I understand I'm an outlier, and you know, got a compromised antenna height and way over here on the border, and so yeah, but it'd still be interesting to see the other end of it, see if anybody heard me. So yep, but yeah, it's really interesting. Glad I was able to do it.
That put you at ease now. You were heard. You were heard and copied. The numbers are not high, but it only takes one. That's all it takes. So we're going to take the low numbers that you have and say, okay, well, Keith, here's your score. You've got a couple options here. First option is, you know, if you want to make changes to your station, you can try that. Obviously, that's your decision. The other option is we'll use the relay to determine, we'll use the matrix to determine your relay. So, like we learned on the last test in February, we had two stations that only had, were only able to make one simplex contact out of everybody. Was that did not matter. What mattered was that they were able to establish the connection via relay. And that matrix will clearly show you who your relays are. So once we determine that, we put it to a test. So I'm just going to tell you how this worked out. Patrick doesn't get mad at me, but I'm going to use his station for an example. Patrick is nestled in between two mountain ranges. On the first test, he was able to establish one contact. That was Ed. That's all he could hear. But Ed was able to hear Chris. So, to test that, what we did was we conducted a test with Patrick, and we moved a written piece of traffic from my location to Steve's location, from Steve's location to Chris's location, and from Chris's location into Patrick's location. So, anybody that tells you that VHF is line of sight, they are correct. However, if you can move that VHF into a written ticket, you can actually bend that message through relays around the mountain, and we did it. So, just gonna let you know, that might be what's coming up for you next, just to see how far we can bend that message.
Kind of the internet of ham radio decentralized. Yeah, pretty cool. Yeah, and I was real surprised at how copyable Gary was to me, even though he was like just blinking the S1. And on Patrick, when he started transmitting, I could not hear anything, but I heard a change in the static level. So I was getting a little bit of RF from him over.
So, if you look on the bottom of the sheet, has some information at the bottom of it. Some operators are kind of picky about sharing that information. I'm not sure why. Others are not. But that's why that information is there. And the information is, okay, what kind of radio do you have? How many watts does it put out? And what type of antenna do you have? And does it have any gain to it? Well, when that data gets to me, that's where it becomes important. Because if I see that you were able to barely copy Patrick, or there was any kind of change when he transmitted, I can look at your antenna and say, hey, well, Keith, you've got a 2-meter beam. Let's zero in on Patrick. But if you don't have a beam, then let's look at the other station and see if he does. And Patrick does. So that means that we take Patrick and work on that little bit of a weak signal and see if we can work it out. And that's the neat thing about this, is we'll spend a couple months trying to work out the challenge stations and get it to a point to where, okay, that's a lot better.
And I'd be kind of interested which way, I'm assuming Patrick was pointed towards toward y'all's area. Yeah, I'd be interested to find out which way he was aiming. Yeah, he could probably improve that in this direction and, you know, come down to that. And I think it was you and Steve talking. I heard Steve say something about he heard you right before it started. And I also heard you pretty clear, you know, when you were, like, making the announcement, like getting ready to start. And I didn't hear you again after that.
KL4NUE. Let me tell you why that happened. So, I initially, 10 minutes before it started, I got on the Omni, and I transmitted to secure the frequency. Ask if the frequency in use is in use. And I did that for 5 minutes on the Omni. At 5 minutes till 8, I rotated my beam to 180 degrees due south. While rotating the beam, I transmitted for another 5 minutes. I went from 180 to 0, and then back from 0 to 180. So, what does that tell you?
At some point, you were pointing my way, obviously. Yeah, and I think I'm going to, I've got a little diamond vertical up. I think I'm going to take it down and go back with the open sub J pole that I had before. Because come to find out, the open sub J pole has a little more gain than what this diamond does.
So, just be advised also now, I've got this three-element home-built Yagi I built that's, you know, not being used. So if you want it, it's yours. I'll need to do a little tweaking on it. But that probably would be helpful too. But, you know, not trying to push you in any way, but it's available. If you want it, you can have it. And I was really unclear on when I did the first test. I did not have a beam. The second test I did, and I'm pretty sold on it. Just from looking at the data, I was able to switch between Omni and the beam, and oh my gosh, what a difference. I mean, 4 or 5 S units difference.
Roger. Yeah, I definitely know the value of a beam. I just don't have a good location to where it would be rotatable. I do have one other option on mounting up higher. I've got my HF dipole on a chimney mount, and I could do one of those, but that would require probably, I'd say, about 75 feet of coax to get it down to the other end of the house. So that's the only reason I hadn't went that route yet.
I understand. But, you know, that's all. That's all part of it, you know, getting out there and experimenting and see kind of what works, you know. I don't know how many I've experimented with. I tell you one thing that performs really well, not better than a beam, by any means, but performs very well, and that is a vertical 2-meter dipole. It's small, and it does really well, you know. So just, you know, keep that in mind too. That's always an option.
Sure, on that chimney mount, I could probably about triple my altitude, if not more, and get the other antenna back up and getting it over there, I think would vastly improve my reception and transmission, but yep, those are things for another day, I guess. Anyway, I got to get back to work, so I heard you in here and just wanted to make sure you hadn't sent it out and I didn't get it yet.
Have not sent it out. I'm tracking everybody on the matrix, and the ones that are club members will do a club member Zoom call. Or not, but the ones who can't make it, I'll do an individual Zoom call with them so that they understand the data. But 73's Keith. Have a wonderful day, sir. And it's KO4NUE, and I'm clear.
Be careful out there mobiling around, and we'll catch you a little later. KN4CHY, clear and listen in the other room.
4CHY, N4DJC.